Well, how's everybody's Christmas preparation going?
Slow.
We got our tree last week, and our nativity set is set up at the manse, and our stockings are hung on the mantle with care. For the first time in a long time, we even splurged and got ourselves a wreath for our front door. I still have a little bit of shopping to take care of, but other than that, things are looking pretty good. All in all, I'd say we're doing pretty well with our mundane Christmas preparations. But of course, we all know that there is more to our Christmas preparations than all of that, right? There is more to getting ready for Christmas than hanging our decorations or picking up good deals at the store. After all, we are not yet in the time of Christmas. Right now, we are still in Advent. And as our readers explained to us last week, Advent is a holiday all unto itself. Advent is our time of preparation for the arrival of Jesus. And as I reminded you last week, our preparation for Christmas is always a little strange. You see, we already know how this story ends. Our God becomes a baby who is born to the Virgin Mary, and to a certain extent, that ends up spoiling it for us, because we know exactly what we are preparing for. We lose some of the mystery that is the Advent season. That's because in many ways, Advent is a time of the year when we relive the time before Jesus came to earth. And that becomes hard for the simple fact that we already know how He is born. But before the birth of Jesus Christ, faithful men and women, followers of God, were hopeful and lived in anticipation for when God would break into the world, even though they did not know exactly what that would look like. Things were not going well, after all, for the people of God. And they believed that at any time God would come into this world and make His presence known. They were, in short, living in their own time of Advent. If Advent means coming or arriving, then the Jewish people before Jesus' arrival were living in their own Advent, waiting for God to come and arrive into their lives in a new and meaningful way. Now, they didn't know exactly what God's arrival would look like. And they didn't know what it would mean to them either. But God's faithful were nonetheless convinced that something major was about to happen. God was about to do something big. And that is exactly where we find ourselves. And that is exactly what our lectionary reading is about. The Gospel of Mark does not include a birth narrative for Jesus. In his gospel, there is no nativity scene, no shepherds or angels or wise men. There is not even a baby Jesus. Mark's gospel begins with an adult Jesus. Well, that's not quite right either. Mark's gospel begins with John the Baptist. And what he says exemplifies the season of Advent, and it explains perfectly the feelings of the people of God before Christ's arrival. John goes out into the desert and he declares that something major is about to happen in their religion. But because we know the end of the story, because we know how it is that God enters into this world, we usually jump ahead to what John says last. We really like that part where he declares that the one more powerful than he is coming, and John won't be worthy to untie his sandals. That's Jesus, of course. John is talking about the Son of God, who is the Messiah, the one who came to save us from our sins. But I'd like to look at what John says before all of that. John was teaching something specific in the wilderness. And it was because he knew that this great one was coming, but not yet here. John, you see, was preparing. As our Isaiah passage puts it, he was preparing for the way of the Lord in the wilderness. And that is because the people were living in this time of preparation, this time of awaiting for their God. John knew that the Great One was coming. He did not know exactly when or exactly how, but he knew it would be soon. So what does he do? He taught that the people needed to repent from their sins. In their time of Advent, their time of waiting for their God to come into their world, their time of hopeful expectation that God would arrive and set things right, John commanded that the world repent. Why? Well, quite frankly, because when you meet God, you want to be on right terms with Him. John doesn't know exactly what is going to happen when this one to follow comes into the world, but he knows that whatever happens, he needs to be on right terms with God first. And that's our Advent reading. It's not from one of the passages about the baby Jesus. It's not even one of the dreams that Joseph or Mary gets. For that matter, our Advent reading doesn't even come from one of the Gospels that even has a birth narrative for Jesus. Our Advent reading is John the Baptist standing in the middle of nowhere, eating bugs, wearing camel's hair, and screaming that we need to repent because the end is nigh. That is what Advent is about. Advent is about preparing the way of the Lord. Advent is about listening to the call of the Baptist to repent. But that final piece that John says, the piece that we like to jump ahead to, is important also. The reason we are repenting from our sins is because of the coming of the Lord, the King of all creation. That is our Christmas celebration, that the Lord has come triumphantly into this world as King of the universe in the package of a tiny baby. But even with that belief and declaration comes more than simply rejoicing. It's not enough that we have good cheer and glad tidings because we are about to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. No, let us take a look at what John says. John proclaims to his followers that the Messiah is coming and he will be greater than John. But moreover, John will not be worthy to even untie this man's sandals. And our declaration this Christmas will be that that man is a baby. The weakest among us. John the Baptist had no way of knowing what the coming Messiah would look like, but had he known, I imagine that he may have phrased this a little differently. The one who is coming, who is greater than I am, and I am not even worthy of changing his diaper. I'm not even worthy of giving him a bottle. Or I'm not worthy of burping him. I'm not worthy of rocking him to sleep. What a humbling scene this is. John the Baptist was incredibly popular with the people, and yet he knows that at the end of the day, he's not that important. He knows that when the one who is important comes, John will be completely unworthy of him. That's Advent. Advent is more than that amazing, warm, fuzzy feeling that we all get around this time of year. It's more than good parties and the love of family. As nice and wonderful as that is, Advent is so much more. Advent is us joining with those ancient people of God, waiting for their King to come. Advent doesn't start for us by hanging the stockings. Advent starts for us when we go out and join the Baptist in the desert, when we repent from our sins, and when we recognize our unworthiness for the miracle that is about to happen. Unlike John, we know how this story ends. Or rather, unlike John, we know how the Christmas story begins, because the story can hardly be said to end at Christmas. But unlike John, we know what we are waiting for. We wait for the Christ child, God humbling himself to the form of the weakest among us. And my faith statement to you is that we are all unworthy of that child. And that is where John's message of repentance hits home. We cannot make ourselves worthy of that baby that arrives for us on Christmas, but we can, with John, recognize that unworthiness so that when he comes, we can be blown away by God's mercy. Because after all, that is part of the miracle of Christmas. If we were worthy for the Christ to come, then it really wouldn't be that big of a deal. If we are worthy to meet Jesus, then meeting Jesus isn't that much of a miracle. The awesome part of the miracle is that he comes despite our unworthiness. But if we are going to start our Advent in the desert with John, that means that we have an incredibly important job ahead of us. John risked life and limb calling it like it was. He was eventually executed for speaking out against powerful people, calling for them to repent. And that call for repentance is our Advent message too. Last week I reminded you that Advent is a penitential season, one in which we remember our own sins and repent from them. John reminds us of that as well. He calls us to repent. But we are also called to model John. John is our inspiration for how we live the Advent season because he was living his own Advent. If we take from him our inspiration to recognize our sheer unworthiness to untie Jesus' sandals or to change the Christ child's diaper, then we should also take John's mission to heart. It is more than simply believing and obeying his message. We are called to emulate, to model John's actions. And that means that, like he did in the desert all those years ago, it is our job to call the world to repentance. John was doing it all those years ago, and he did not even know when the event would happen. Well, we have that time. We mark it on our calendars every year. We celebrate every 25th of December, the inbreaking of God, the miracle that is his arrival into this world. If we have that knowledge when John did not, how much more urgent is our mission to call the world to repentance? So do it. This is the time to remind those around us of the imminent arrival of our God. God is coming. He is coming here, and we had better be prepared. We have got to make ourselves ready for his arrival, and we must remind the world to do so as well. Repent, because soon, I tell you, a child is to be born to us, a son given, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Repent, O world. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight, for he is arriving soon. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.